listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Podcasters of S.H.I.E.L.D., Cinema Geekly's Marvel podcast. It is Anthony and Aurora, and we are back to talk more Agatha All Along on Disney Plus, episodes 3 and 4. Whew. Okay, so they've made it to the road, and we get to find out what the road is all about, and there's some big things that happen in these two episodes, including a lot of kind of character backstory development happening in these episodes, which I feel like is going to be a running theme for the rest of the show. Because these first, like episodes 3 and 4 felt very similar in structure as to like what happens in the episode. Right. But like the fun of the episode was in finding out what's going on. Like, who are these characters? What do we know about
a little
them?
Deeper. Yeah.
Okay, so let's begin with episode 3, Through Many Miles of Tricks and Trials. So we reach, we find out that to reach the end of the road, the coven will face trials that focus on different branches of witchcraft. They also realize that the teen's sigil prevents any witch from learning his identity, not just Agatha. So, we reach the first trial, and the coven finds a coastal house with a bottle of wine that everyone but the teen drinks. Jen privately warns the teen not to trust Agatha, who is said to have traded her only child for the Darkhold. A timer starts counting down, and Jen realizes the wine was poisoned as Sharon faints. As they gather ingredients to create an antidote, the witches hallucinate. Lilia sees her younger self and her maestra from the Renaissance era. Jen hallucinates a doctor forcing her underwater. Alice sees her mother, Lorna Wu, about to commit suicide, and Agatha sees a crib containing the Darkhold. As they prepare the antidote, the house is brought underwater, threatening to drown them. With a few seconds left, they finish the antidote, drink it, and feed it to Sharon. Water pours in, but a tunnel appears in the oven, and the coven escapes through it back to the road. As they recover, the teen discovers that Sharon is dead. Mrs. Hart! Gone so quick! She had no idea what was happening. I felt so bad for her. Like, no clue what was happening, and just poof.
She, you know, she did chug a lot of wine. Maybe she died happy.
I mean, maybe. She had like 2 glasses.
Yes.
Had she known it was poisoned?
I would say it was like more like 4, because the pour on those glasses was like 2 glasses of wine in one. Yeah.
All right, so what did you think of episode 3?
Oh my gosh, so much fun. I love this show so much.
It's a lot of fun. It's a good Halloween like season show too.
It's great. It's great for the season. They're all great together. Catherine Han is just, I love watching her on my screen.
Yeah,
she's doing such a good job being Agatha, and I love how like chaotic she is. I know I've used this before, but she just seems so chaotic, but in that good way.
Yeah.
I think that the show is a lot of fun, but there were moments in this episode that were literally creepy. Okay. Like the moment where Agatha sees the little crib.
Yeah,
and
confirming
the baby crying. And yes.
And she
that
cries?
Whole scene. Oh, that whole scene was really creepy. Very well executed, I think. It was so good.
Yeah.
So I like that the show has moments like that while still keeping it fun. Mm-hmm. I feel it's a good sign when I'm watching a show and when it ends, I'm like, no.
Yes.
Like I want it to keep going. Like, why was it so fast? But it's fast because you're having fun watching it.
I mean, and it's fast because it is following the WandaVision format. Like the episodes are only like 32 to 35 minutes long.
Yes.
So they are very quick episodes as well. Like the whole watch through of this show would actually be relatively quick. There might be some Marvel movies that could be longer than this show is going to end up being at the end.
The credits are kind of like the same length as the episode. Now, I know that they showed that Sharon died.
Yes.
But Agatha said something to her like, I didn't know you had it in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what does that mean?
I'm not sure.
It sounded like Agatha doesn't think she's dead.
Maybe?
Like, it sounded to me that the way that I perceive this is that Agatha knows something the others don't about dying in the road.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because... This is not the first time I've heard somebody suggest that maybe she's not actually dead. I wonder if there's some sort of thing like if you complete the road, like as long as there's one person left in the coven, like everybody, like if you win, everybody wins. Like nobody stays dead. Everybody gets what they want or whatever. It's hard to say because. It could easily be the other way as well. It could be the way that it's sort of being presented, which is like you need a coven to get in, but like witches are bad. So it's the real idea is that it's every witch for themselves or whatever. If somebody dies, like then that's what's going to happen. I don't know.
I mean, it could be interpreted in multiple ways. But I do think that because Agatha is the only one in that whole group that has done the road before, she clearly knows stuff that she's not sharing with everybody else. Because this is not the only situation this has happened. Like, there are other moments in this episode and the next that the way that she reacts to things seems like he's hiding something or knows more about what's going on than the other ones.
Yeah.
So... yeah.
Oh, for sure. I feel like she's maybe even walked the road before.
Yeah.
So, we shall see. What would you give episode 3?
I'm going to keep it at 4.5.
Okay, that's good. I maintained a 4 for this.
Okay.
I liked it. Once I got an idea, because like it went by so quick, but then by the end of the next episode, I was like, okay, now I'm... got the vibes of this show and I have a feel for what they're going for when it comes to how they are presenting their storytelling. So I really liked this episode, but I ended up liking the next one even more. Episode 4 called If I Can't Reach You, Let My Song Teach You. So after the coven buries Sharon, they're forced to summon a replacement Green Witch. Which brings us back to Rio. She emerges from Sharon's grave, much to Agatha's annoyance. The coven encounter a house with a 1970s aesthetic that prompts renewed feelings of grief for Alice, as it turns out to be a recording studio tied to her mother, Lorna. Just as Rio playfully suggests to Agatha that they betray the others, which is overheard by everyone, Agatha does that on purpose. The teen accidentally plays a record backwards, summoning a demon that turns out to be the source of the curse in Alice's family. To fight it, the group plays Lorna's version of the ballad, the coven song, the Witch's Road song, revealed to actually be a protection spell. That's why Alice has been fine so long, because her mom made this hit song. Every time she sang it, she would be protected. And because that song is always playing somewhere in the world, some station is playing it somewhere, someone's streaming it on Spotify or whatever, it protects Alice every time. So it's protecting her, but it hasn't broken it. And Alice is able to eventually kill the demon when the entire coven comes together to perform the song. As the coven leaves the house, they notice the teen has been severely wounded by the demon. Back on the road, they tend to the wound and Jen is able to heal it, saving the teen's life. Later on, Lilia, Alice, and Jen bond with each other, while Rio alludes to her history with Agatha. The teen asks Agatha what happened to her son, but she does not answer. Later, as Agatha tries to kiss Rio, she tells Agatha that the teen is not her son. Nicholas Scratch. So what did you think of episode 4?
I have so many thoughts about this. First, I love this episode.
it was my favorite episode of the season so far.
Yes. And that whole idea that a song is a protection spell. And it's a protection spell that keeps going because it keeps being played everywhere in the world. I love that concept. And it makes me think that they must have used Stevie Nicks as inspiration. I feel like
100% yes,
right? That's something that I could see happening with Stevie Nicks.
Oh, absolutely.
I've been convinced now that they are protection spells. And
Rhiannon is a protection spell.
Yes. But I mean I also love this episode because we have Rio back, which I love as a character. And I also think the way that it's being presented, it seems that Agatha thinks that Teen is her son.
Absolutely.
And that's why she's so attached to it.
Yes.
To him. So when Rhea said that, you know, that boy's not yours, one, why does Rhea know this? I'm still like trying to figure out what her intentions are. She seems very like shady in the way that she navigates, you know, everything she does. So I'm still not sure like what her motives are here. But when she said that boy's not yours, that's when I was like, I wonder if Rio is part of like a plan to do something to Agatha.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's clear she's got some grudge against her because she wanted to kill her in the beginning of the show.
But they also have sexual tensions.
Oh, no. They made it very clear they used to be lovers. Like, yes, 100%.
Yes.
And, like, if you thought Agatha was chaotic, like, Rio is nuts. Like,
They're meant for each other. Like, yes.
Agatha is the calm, sane one. Yes. Like she's the balance to like Rio's like chaotic evil or whatever. Basically, Agatha's not chaotic neutral, but she's closer to that than Rio is. That's for sure.
They're both chaotic evil. Just one of them is more evil than the
what's
other.
Crazy?
One.
What's crazy? Before we talk about like teen thoughts. What's crazy to me about, and I don't know if you picked up on this, but watching this, especially at the end, when it's just those two together, it feels like, to me, because Agatha is always like, she always seems like the kind of like the ringleader. Like she's the one who's always steps ahead of everybody else. Like she's got like a plan. She has the power. She's the strongest one. She's got like this ambition for all of this stuff. But in the scene with her and Rio, it made me feel like Rio is the one with power over her, like emotionally or something. Cause Agatha was the one who was just like, she was the one who felt like, can't we just get back together? Like she wanted that connection. And maybe she's trying to play Rio because she knows, like, whatever
happened.
Yeah,
that's the problem. That's the problem that I don't... They're both playing the characters so well.
Everybody
that
is so backstabby. Like, and, like, this is the thing. Is Rio telling the truth? Does she know because she's the one who put the, like, the sigils or whatever, like, on Teen? Like, is she the one doing it? So is that how she knows? Or... does she know the truth and she's lying, or does she not know the truth and is she lying? Like, it's like impossible to tell because these are all, to be very kind, morally gray characters. One could make the argument that it's not very gray at all and that they're all kind of bad guys. And as such, very difficult to trust. But we saw some stuff in this episode. And I wish I could talk about episode 5 because I've already seen it and Aurora hasn't. I wish I could say more about episode 5, but I will say that there is a tiny crack here in episode 4 that widens a bit in episode 5 about Agatha. And I'm talking about the bit where she sees the Darkhold in the little crib. And you see a tear roll down her face, suggesting remorse and regret about what she did. And there's some stuff in episode, and it's so difficult because Agatha is so backstabby. But there are moments in episode 5 where I start feeling empathy for her. It feels like there's some stuff. I don't want to spoil it too much, but it feels like there's some stuff that might be a little bit out of her control. And then I started feeling bad for her. So that'll be a discussion for another time. But of course, yes, this also means like I know a whole lot more about Teen or whatever, but we're not going to talk about it. We're going to do our best to wait until the next episode of the podcast.
I mean, I will point out that one thing that I've noticed is that... he knows a lot about witchy stuff.
A ton.
Like there was the previous episode. They're collecting ingredients throughout the house to do this spell. And some of the witches had no idea about certain things that he did.
Yeah.
Which I thought it was a hint.
Yeah, he's basically. He's basically like me, but about like I'm about like the MCU, and I can just like tell you what happened in what movie
or Star Trek, or
definitely Star Trek. Like if I could heal people with my knowledge of Star Trek, like be so many healed.
That's an
people.
Amazing superpower.
Like, oh my god, can I tell you about the first time they used the holodeck, and like, oh my god, my broken bones are healed. I don't know how that would transfer, but
I feel like, hey, I think that you should like do some copyright on this because this is a show.
I mean, if I've learned anything, Aurora, recently, it's that if somebody made a patent for an invention, it doesn't matter if the patent actually exists or actually works. People will believe that it's real, like the people who believe that we can create hurricanes because somebody made a patent for a device that would do such a thing, like create weather in like the 1920s or something, because they didn't realize that you can just create a patent for something that doesn't actually exist and may never exist. You've just patented the idea. You didn't patent the existence of a thing.
That's interesting. Okay.
Anyway, this is unrelated to my Star Trek healing abilities. Let's go back. Any final thoughts on episode 4 and what would you give it?
I mean, like you, this was my favorite episode so far. Mm-hmm. So it's getting the 5.
Oh, yay. Yes. I gave this a 5 too. I thought this was... this is where everything sort of clicked for me. I was way in, like, I already realized, okay, like every episode, it's going to be a new house, a new aesthetic, a new thing for them to like figure out the solution to. But like the solution to the problems are never Like, that's never the thing in the episode. It's in the process of, like, solving the thing, we're finding out stuff about the people. And that's because each trial is not only, like, focusing on a different area of witchcraft, but as such, each episode is going to, like, have some sort of focus on one of the characters.
Right.
And
right.
We're going to learn something about the characters and their backstory and what brought them here. Yeah, so very enjoyable. Nice. I like this quite a bit, and I can't wait to talk about the next couple of episodes. Because if episode 5 is any indication, it's just going to go up from here. Because... I said episode 4 was my favorite episode of the season, but it's thus far, because there are more episodes after.
Yes.
And
yeah, I will find, I think it's very unlikely that this will go down after this. My expectations are high now, because the show has been so good so far.
I mean, they might, but spoiler alert for the next podcast, it won't for at least one of the episodes. I can promise that. Okay, everybody. So while you wait for all of that goodness, head on over to cinemageekly.com, where you can check out the archives of the show. And of course, we are a listener-supported podcast. And if you would like to help support, there are a couple ways you can do that. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly. We have our merch store as well, geeklymerch.com. Links for those are in the show notes for this episode. And of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Pocket Casts, anywhere you can find a good podcast. Just search for Podcasters of S.H.I.E.L.D., hit subscribe, and that way you can join us next time, where we will continue to talk about Agatha All Along, episode 5, Darkest Hour, Wake Thy Power, and unfortunately, because this is how Marvel does things, episode 6 that I don't know the title of.